don't expect that to be your reward as a guest. Instead, what you're trying to do is be on a number of podcasts, have your exposure so that you're really building a curriculum vitae, you're building your experience, so that then you can profile, as I do on my website, as seen in, and as seen in this media, as read in this media, for instance. And so don't expect people, share your message, but don't expect them to remember you.
Welcome to the Podcast Ally Podcast. I'm Dr. Sarah Glova, keynote speaker and workshop facilitator, and I am on a mission to find out how to be the best podcast guest. So I'm talking with hosts, people who have been guests on podcasts, and podcast network executives so I can learn the good and the bad, what works, what doesn't, and how I can build my brand through podcast guesting. And with me today is Bree Williams, one of Australia's leading authorities on behavioral influence. She's the author of multiple books, including Behavioral Economics for Business, her newest book, The Williams Behavior Book, and her book, The How of Habits. She's here today to help us learn from a behavioral expert perspective things we can do to be a great podcast guest. So Bree, thank you so much for joining us.
It's so good to be back with you, Sarah, on the other side of the microphone.
That's right, because when we first met, Bree actually had me on her podcast, and I hope it wasn't too much pressure. I asked you to come back and be a guest on a podcast about guesting on a podcast.
As we were saying in the off mic, it really does make you raise the bar when you're on a podcast about being a guest. You really have to pull out all stops to impress the host.
Not at all, but it did make me think before sending you this question. We asked this question of all our podcast guests, which is, can you share your worst podcast experience? But I've been on your podcast, so I'm hoping that if I was on your bingo card, you just didn't pick me for that one.
I'll let you off just because of politeness. But my worst podcast experience as a guest, I certainly have had experiences where technology has let us down. Often I'm doing them internationally and you know, the wires don't quite connect. So those can be really rough. So you just have to persevere and have patience and just wait out the buffering. But on reflection, I think one of the worst experiences I had recently was an experience where it was a hot takes kind of podcast where they wanted snappy, really bite-sized bits and, you know, five questions, bang, 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 bang. And I really have reflected on that and thought, I am a slow answer girl in a quick question world. In other words, I really prefer conversational podcasts such as you provide, because that's when I am at my best and that's when I can share the most. So on reflection, it's about me choosing the podcast and the style of podcast that best suits me.
That makes so much sense. And I so appreciate you sharing that with us, because I think for the folks who are listening to this, they're thinking about exploring podcast guest opportunities. There's this reminder that there are different kinds of podcasts. And just like there's different kinds of tea, some aren't going to be your cup of tea. And I know I would not do well on a hot takes podcast, because I like to explain, I like to have a conversation, which I think is why I just hit it off on your podcast. And I'm so thankful to have this next experience with you. So it makes a lot of sense to me. But even if somebody is like, oh, hot takes, that sounds perfect for me, it's like, great. It's more about not that there's a right or wrong style, just finding your cup of tea.
And as a guest, if you are asked or invited to be a guest, or if you're seeking to be a guest, make sure you ask that question. What sort of style of podcast is this? Because if they say hot takes and you love hot takes, that's great. If they say it's conversational, that's great. But just ask about it so that you get the tone right and the energy right.
I love the idea of just asking. And in a minute, we can talk about how you asked me those very questions. Like, you are a walk the talk kind of person. I asked you to be on this podcast and you were like, great, what's the style? What's the tone? So we can share more about that. But now that we've jumped into this first question, I want to ask you about something, since you're known as the behavior changer, which is such a cool title, tagline. You're known for studying the when and why of individuals who are engaging in specific behaviors. And so to start us off with this idea of behavioral studies and podcast guesting, what's a rule or a practice from behavioral science that could help us as we think about being a guest on a podcast?
That's such a great question. I think one of the things that's really helped me is the lesson from behavioral science, which is known as the peak end rule. So the peak is, what is the peak experience, like a peak of a mountain? So what's the best experience people are going to have during that podcast session? And the end, so where are we leaving them? How are we making them feel? Which is why one of the questions I was asking you before I came on was, what do you want listeners to feel after they've had, you know, this session with us, with this time with us? What sort of emotional state do we want to leave them in? As well as, if we're thinking about the end of the podcast, I've got to think about, what's the action I want people to take? Do I want them to contact me through this or that, or do I want to focus them on the show notes? All of those sorts of questions. What's the action I want them to take, not only for me, but for them? So out of the content that I'm going to share, what's the action they can take? So what's the end point? So it often helps to think with the end in mind. Working our way back, what is the peak experience? Well, that is, what is going to be the most interesting point of our time together? So to a degree, I can hope that I can shape that. But really, it's about what is going to resonate with the audience. And that might be one snippet for one person and a different snippet for another. So that's the core of the peak end rule. But I've added one extra element to that. And that is peak, as in pique your curiosity, P-I-Q-U-E. So peak, I call it the peak end rule. So peak at the start of the process is, how are we going to inspire people's curiosity about what they're going to experience? If they click on this thumbnail of you and me, Sarah, on YouTube or on the podcast app, what's going to encourage them to listen? Also, as a guest, I need to think, how am I going to have people interested in what I do? So that part of that's going to be the introduction, for instance. Now, conversations prior to the sessions. So when we're thinking about being a guest, think about peak. So how am I going to get people curious? The peak. So what's going to be the best, most exciting element of the session? And the end. Where does this take them? How does it resolve?
Oh, I love this. And I wish I'd had this in my back pocket for some past prep sessions for podcast guesting. Because a lot of times when you're thinking about a podcast opportunity, even if you're really good, you're so focused on like, okay, what's the audience going to take away? But when you think about your whole body of work, it can be really overwhelming to think about what you're going to share. And so framing it as, what's going to pique their interest? So the peak with a Q, what's going to pique their interest? And then peak, what's the most important thing or the most interesting thing that I can share? Maybe what's my like top 5, 10 out of 10 that everybody loves to hear? And then how do we end? How do I want them to feel and what do I want them to do? And I will say, true to your word, I feel like all the questions you asked me about what this podcast is and what we wanted to talk about on this episode were all geared toward that. So that makes so much sense.
And I think, don't be shy as a guest. When people do invite you, ask questions about, if you don't know that information, ask questions so that you can start to think about what is going to make this session valuable for all of the parties involved. So the host, yourself, and of course the audience. So that's all part of it, because you're absolutely right. We can get overwhelmed and we can also start talking too much about our body of work. We have to rein it in. We have to curate that. We don't have to give people everything because they won't remember it anyway.
Yeah. And it's a little bit of pressure off, I think. That's one of my favorite things about it is it's a lot of pressure to try to fit a whole body of work into one episode. And so this reminder that it's like, not only should you not do that, but you literally can't. So don't try. Let's refocus. Let's peak end perspective on this. How do we pique their interest? What's the peak information we want to share? And then how do we end? How do we want people to feel when they finish listening, and what do we want them to do? I love it. Oh, this is amazing. Okay, so in addition to how you apply behavioral sciences to business, which I know we talked about your book, I know you work with individuals and teams as well, which I saw outlined a lot in your book, The How of Habits. So one of the many things that you help people with is presentations and public speaking. And from that side of your work, I'm wondering if there are any behavioral science strategies to help keep us effective and on brand when we're podcast guesting. So looking at it from like a public speaking perspective.
Well, this was a technique I learned way back in my corporate career. I was a product manager and I was doing a lot of media for the company I worked for. And as a shy, introverted type of person, that was scary for me. So they ran me through a little bit of media training, which was so fabulous. And the thing that stuck in my memory was, I call it the flower and the petal. So if you imagine a shape of a flower, you have, I don't even know what the middle bit is, but you have the circle in the middle and then you have, say, five petals around it. I can show you, I'll hold this up to camera for those that are watching. For those that are listening, I've pretty much just shown Sarah an ugly diagram that kind of looks like a Venn, but it's a big circle in the middle and five petals around it.
It looks great. This is my, the way I would say my 3-year-old would approve. And he's a harsh judge of drawings.
Well, you've given me a sense of what my audience is if a 3-year-old loves it. Thank you, Sarah. But the flower, in the core of your flower, that's where you write your central message. So what is the central message you want people to take away from their time with you? And then those petals, say five of those circles around it, you put your subtopics, which always lead back to the core of what you are trying to share. So my core message today is that we need to be interested and interesting. So that's the core. So interested, and what I mean by interested is you need to be interested in who the audience is and you need to be interested in the host. Now, what I mean by that is the host has a lot on their mind. They're trying to keep to time. They're trying to work through the questions. They're trying to build their podcast. So be interested in the host, be interested in the audience. And in terms of interesting, that's where you really have to have a point of view. And where possible, always provide a so what. Like, so what that means is. So it's no good just to have a point of view, but try and draw it back to, so what that means when you're a guest, for instance, on a podcast, is that your point of view has to land with the audience so that they can take it away. It gets them to think differently. It gets them to act differently. So within each of those five petals, I've got sort of these avenues back into that core message of be interested and interesting. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And can I just applaud you, because it's a bit meta. You're introducing the topic or the theme that you want to have on this podcast while using the technique that you're teaching us, which for a podcast that's literally about being on podcasts, I feel like meta is very theme. So let me break it down again for our folks who are listening. You drew us this flower and petal diagram to emphasize this behavioral science point, which is have your main topic, your main idea, the thing you want folks to walk away from, and then break out these subtopics that relate so that you can think about what you want to share in the context of that main point or to that peak idea, to get back to your first behavioral science principle that you shared with us. And then you talked about, kind of in a meta way, what your flower and petal idea would be for this podcast episode, which is this idea of be interested and interesting. I'm obsessed. So you showed how interested you were when I emailed you and was like, hey, do you want to be on this podcast? And you were like, absolutely. Here's how interested I am. Here's all these questions I have about your audience and your topic. And then you said, be interesting. So sharing things that'll be of value, like you're doing with the flower and petal. You're a mastermind.
I tell you, my life is meta, because early in my career, Sarah, I just left the corporate sector out of that media, you know, on the sidelines, sort of to break into behavioral science and really bring it to business, because I could see there was a need for it. And one of my first consulting gigs, I went out to this person. They'd seen me do a presentation. They were really rapt and they thought, she's great. Let's get her in to do some consulting. I gave them a proposal and the feedback I got was, she doesn't walk her talk.
Oh.
Ouch. Ouch. And from that moment, in other words, I wasn't using behavioral techniques in how I was proposing we work together. I was talking the theory. And I knew what I could do to provide, you know, sell more mattresses, which is what they were trying to do. But I wasn't translating that into my work. So I think walking your talk, whatever your profession is, there will be opportunities to walk your talk. And as a guest, try and do that. So always be consistent in your actions and try and walk what your talk is.
I'm going to keep this example of Brie on a stage, just killing it with this presentation. And then afterward, they get this proposal and they're like, is this the same Brie? We heard Brie up there talking about all these principles, but we don't see the principles in the proposal. If you get invited onto a podcast, there's likely something about your expertise or your way of speaking or your way of interacting in the world that a podcast host has recognized this will be of value. And so making sure to bring, can I even say maybe your authentic self and your authentic interests into that space so that you can really shine in a way that highlights that you're walking the talk, I guess.
Always. And also mastery of your domain, which means that whatever skills I have, how can I apply it to every interaction I have? So your unique point of view on the world means that how you face up in whatever circumstance, whether it's a podcast or a talk or a consulting gig, you know, that is maybe that's what you're meaning by authenticity. I think the other nugget within that horrible experience that I had that I have chosen to share is that feedback is such gold. And I know it's easy to say that, but that was a turning point in how I generated business, really, because I could have kept throwing out these proposals and not getting any traction and wondering why. And so you'll notice, for instance, with behavioral science, I have to be very careful that my website walks my talk. I have to be careful about how I write an email because I need to make sure that I'm using the behavioral principles. So one of the principles that people might be interested in, for instance, and it does relate to being a guest on a podcast, is when you're asking someone to do something for you, always lead with what they get before what they have to give you. So in a commercial setting, it would be instead of sign up to get 10% off, which puts the pain first, which is sign up to get the reward of 10%, reverse that and say get 10% off by signing up. So that's, of course, in a retail or business environment, but as a guest, you can use that as well. So if, for instance, you're approaching a host, don't talk about what, or if you're inviting someone, in fact, tell them what they get out of the experience before what they have to do. So fill out this form or provide your headshots, well, that's all effort. We need to make sure that we're communicating what the benefit is to people.
And that's maybe, it sounds so simple, but I feel like it would be easy to forget. And then to your point, your website and all of your materials have to walk this talk. I feel like for me, I want to look at all the materials I have on my website and see if I'm letting people know, like, here's what you get before I ask you to contact me, reach out, consider signing up for my newsletter, whatever it is. That's so great. And then we apply it to guesting. And it's, if you want folks to listen to a story or hear an example, maybe you could start with what they'll get out of it. And so if I'm on a podcast and I say something like, oh, I've got a story for you, and this is gonna help anyone who's ever been afraid to get on a stage. This story is gonna help you a lot. Here's the story. What a small shift of, all right, I'm gonna get some listener buy-in for the next couple minutes.
I love that, Sarah. Yeah. For instance, instead of saying click here to listen to our 30-minute podcast, which is all effort, right? We're adding friction in for people. We need to reverse that. It's all about sequencing. A lot of our language and behavioral influence is about sequencing what we say in order for it to land in a way that is enticing for people. We're piquing their interest. And so just reversing a lot of that. And oftentimes, for instance, I get requests to be on podcast, and it's interesting because it's all about this is the podcast and, you know, schedule a time and what have you, but they forget to tell me what the benefit is of being on the podcast. And I've listened to a few episodes in this podcast series, which I'm loving. I love that Get to the Dinosaurs, line, which I thought that was brilliant, but that piqued my interest, and that was my peak experience as well. But for instance, oftentimes hosts will talk about what as a guest can you provide me? And fair enough. But the hosts also have to say, what are you going to provide the guest? How are you going to market this? How many people are you going to reach?
Mm-hmm. How many social media assets will you provide for me? Just some information about that, the what you get part of it. That makes so much sense.
Yeah, and that is the other rule. If I had to break behavioral science down into how do we get someone to do something, there's the effort side of the equation and there's the reward side of the equation. And we need to reduce people's effort and we need to maximize their real or perceived reward. So in terms of, for instance, if I was working with a host, I want to, in terms of reducing effort, and these are things that I tried to do with you, I sent you through, for instance, a page with my headshots and my AV and all of those sorts of details because I wanted to reduce the effort that you're experiencing having me as a guest. And in terms of reward, that's really about me putting forward some topics and making sure that I show up on time and inject energy as much as I can at 8 a.m. in the morning to really encourage that. So that's the host. Now, in terms of me as a guest, is this going to be worth me spending my time in? So what's the reward for me participating in this podcast? But also, how difficult is the host making it for me to do that? Now, you could have said you have to fly to America to be on this podcast. You didn't. You made it very easy by allowing us to do it remotely.
I would love to imagine that you would have been willing to come see me maybe one day, but absolutely, that was an easy – you're putting this equation, or you called it sequencing, in such a helpful term for me to think about this idea of effort versus reward. And can I just shout out your page that you described on your website that you sent us when we were in this initial conversation about you joining the podcast? You were like, here's a page that has headshot bio and anything you want to grab. And I go, and it's this beautifully simple page on your website. It's got a number of headshot options. It has details about your AV setup. It was so easy. So you are really walking the talk. And then I think this idea of effort, reward, and making sure we talk about reward before effort feeds in so well with what you talked to us about with peak, peak, end. So when we're trying to pique folks' interest, so the peak with a Q, we're thinking about this idea of reward before effort. You're giving us some awesome, this is the behavioral science knowledge mic drop that I was hoping for.
That's good. You're giving me praise, which keeps my motivation high. I love it, Sarah. So I think I will say that when I was hosting Talking Talks, for instance, as a host, I was making sure that I would send my potential guests out a list with everything they needed. So, and rather than me having to type that out every time I was inviting someone on, I made sure that I could send them a page with all of that information for those that were into the details, not everyone is, and also an opportunity to upload whatever they needed to, just to short circuit that process. So there's an opportunity on both sides to change that equation. Now, the big thing, of course, is the audience. So the effort versus reward for the audience. So the reward, certainly we just talked about, which is about how, you know, front-ending how we market a podcast with what they can get. But also, how do we reduce effort as part of them? So that's part of making sure that your podcast is distributed in places that they might access it. And for instance, on free services like YouTube and that sort of thing. So multiple avenues, making sure that people can get snippets so they're getting a taste of it through, for instance, channels like LinkedIn. So there are opportunities throughout that. And when I was talking about the end, when I was talking about the peak, peak, end rule, that also relates to how do we make it easy for people to do the next step when they've listened to this podcast, for instance. And so making sure that we're reducing effort wherever we can.
Not just in the peak part, but also at the end. Because if we're going to be asking them to do something at the end, you know, oh, you've heard this social media snippet. Now I want you to go listen to the full podcast. Or you heard me on this podcast. I'd love for you to check out my book. How are we making it easy for them? And if you're a guest on a podcast, you may not feel like you have as much control over that. And to a certain degree, maybe that's true. You can't necessarily control what platforms the podcast is going to go on, but you can make sure that if you're sharing it on your social media, that there's a link in your bio or in the comments. You can ask the host to put in links to your website in the show notes. So there's a lot of things you can do even as a guest to maximize the reward, try to put that first, and then make the effort really low, really minimal so that people will do that end piece. So this idea that the effort reward sequence that made an impact on the peak part also makes an impact on the end part.
I love how you're tying it together. That's one of your gifts, Sarah. I really love how you recap things. One thing that sprung to mind when you were sharing that is that as a guest, I want to manage your expectations. People won't remember your name. And the role of you being a guest is not for them to remember your name. Now, I listen to a lot of podcasts and I enjoy a lot of podcasts, but I don't always remember the guest's name. I might buy their book, but don't expect people to go, oh, that was Bree Williams. Yeah, Bree Williams is terrific and I'm going to look her up. That's really not, I mean, it's nice if it happens, but don't expect that to be your reward as a guest. Instead, what you're trying to do is be on a number of podcasts, have your exposure so that you're really building a curriculum vitae, you're building your experience so that then you can profile, as I do on my website, as seen in, and as seen in this media, as read in this media, for instance. And so don't expect people, share your message, but don't expect them to remember you.
Mm, that's so helpful because I think, again, you're taking the pressure off for folks. The idea isn't, how am I going to make sure everyone remembers my name? It's more this likely like, you know what, they might not remember your name, but you're still going to be able to use this podcast episode because one, you're going to feature it on your website. It's going to show, hey, you spoke here. You're going to feature it on LinkedIn and people are going to see it and see an example of you being able to communicate and talk about your expertise. We heard a lot about that when we had Erica Rooney on our podcast and she was talking about using podcast guesting as a way to support job hunting. But then also this idea, if we accept that people are not necessarily going to remember our names, but what is it that we can have them remember? You're talking about ideas from behavioral science that I know I'm going to remember later. Somebody's going to come up to me in the street and they're going to say, I used that peak end piece that I forget her name, but the lovely Australian woman you had on your show. That's exactly what they're going to say to me. And I'm going to say, absolutely, Bree Williams, she's brilliant. And I'm so glad that was helpful to you. And later, if they ever need someone with your expertise, they're going to remember that you were on this podcast. They're going to go look up that episode and then they'll get your name that way. And so it's more being okay with this idea that it's going to be your ideas. And then there's the peak that's in the center, the PEAK. It's more your ideas that we want people to remember. So using tricks like alliteration or whatever it is to make sure that those are memorable so that later when that comes up for the person, they can remember that idea. And taking the pressure off, they might not necessarily remember your name, but they will remember that idea. I love it.
And don't be disappointed if you don't get an influx of followers on LinkedIn or through your socials, because that's not the big game. The big game is really you articulating what you do, you bringing your point of view to the market, you having that opportunity. And I also loved in the earlier episode about it's like standing on stage. There might be 250 people in the room. So that's a nice way of thinking about podcasts, you know. So I sometimes think of it as, for instance, it's a little bit like a restaurant. You remember the restaurant's name. You might not necessarily remember the dish or what the ingredients of the dish were, but you remember that you had a nice experience in that restaurant. Well, a podcast is the restaurant. So what we're trying to do as guests is make sure people keep coming to the restaurant, that the restaurant is successful. We might be one dish on the menu. And, you know, people might prefer one dish to another. It doesn't really matter, but we're trying to make sure that our restaurant is the best restaurant.
I love this metaphor. I feel like if I went back and listened to the episode that I joined when you were hosting Talking Talks, I remember we were pretty metaphor heavy. And you have now given two wonderful shout outs to Robert Engel's episode that he did with us, Robert from Law Pods, who joined us for Get to the Dinosaurs. And that was such a great episode. We talked about this idea of get to the dinosaurs. To your point, you just referenced it again, this idea of what would you give to get into this room? And he talked about the podcast as a room, but now you're talking about it as a restaurant. It's lovely. But twice now, we've referenced ideas from this episode. And so similarly, the idea is that people will remember the experience. They'll remember something from it. They won't necessarily remember your name, and that's okay. And there are other ways we can use the podcast to elevate our brand, even if it's not immediately putting our names in lights or getting us a million followers. That's not the goal.
And that was a case in point. I'd forgotten Rob's name. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed listening to the podcast. I love the exchanges that you had. I took a lot away from it, but I'd forgotten his name. So there's the case in point. Don't worry about people remembering your name.
Right? Whether you remembered his name or ideas that he shared, I'm pretty sure that he, and all of our guests would pick, oh, ideas, please. Ideas, please.
And I always know where I picked up those ideas. So I can always go back to the Podcast Ally web podcast because I know that's where I heard it because we were talking about podcasts. So it's anchored within that bigger context. And so that, again, as a guest, think about it from the perspective of your host and what they're trying to achieve. Them as the restaurant, you're there to serve you, but, you know, make sure that you're getting value for your effort as well. So that's the balance.
I love it. I love the restaurant metaphor. This is so good. I'd love to talk a little bit about your experience hosting because we've referenced now Talking Talks a couple times, the podcast of yours that I had an opportunity to join. And if anyone wants to go look up our episode, I think that the metaphor we had was frogs, right? We were big into the idea of we could even talk about frogs. Do you remember this? This is years ago now.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Yes. And to make it easy for people, we can put a link in the show notes, of course, Sarah.
See, reducing that effort. You're so brilliant. Okay. So if I do a quick Google search for your name, I can find Talking Talks. I can find podcasts that you've guested on as well. I mean, it's really easy to see that you've got a lot of experience in this space. I would love to talk more about this idea of actions and people's actions. So we just talked about a couple, but you've helped brands in so many businesses to uncover hidden influences on behavior. So what is it that makes us act this way or make this decision? And a lot of that was covered in your book, Behavioral Economics for Business. You help brands to better understand how they can get people to take action. So can you give us a bit more on this idea of the ending and how we want people to take action after they've listened to us on a, so if we're going to put ourselves out there and either through outreach or inbound, we're going to get folks who invite us to be on a podcast. Well, then we're going to use your peak end method to structure and frame our content. Is there anything else either as part of the end that you would do after a podcast recording?
The behavioral science I work with clients around is really about people are inherently, and this will sound rough, but it's true, lazy. In other words, we don't like to think too much about things. We leave things as they are. The status quo is where things are, you know. It's a friction point for us to get to change what we're doing. People are susceptible to being confused. So we might like lots of choices, but then we get confused by them, and people are scared. So I might like what you're suggesting, but I'm terrified of taking that action. Now, I'm going to focus for this question on confused because the big problem that a lot of podcast guests run into is they give people too many options to contact them. And we think we're doing the right thing. You know, you can connect me here and there and wherever and buy my book and watch my YouTube series. No, 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 no. Remember, they're going to not even remember your name. Just keep it simple. Just give them one call to action. And that one call to action will be, for instance, in my case, find me on LinkedIn. Now, to find me on LinkedIn, you have to spell my name B-R-I, Bree, not other derivatives. So Bree Williams. So just keep it simple. Don't say go to my website and then you can find me on LinkedIn, then you can blah, blah, blah. It's just confusing people. So keep it very, very simple.
Yeah, that's so helpful. And I don't know if I'm going to go back to your peak end or I'm going to go to the flower petal, but either way, I'm going to go to one of the strategies that you shared earlier. And I'm going to think, okay, maybe I have these four or five ways that people can connect with me afterward, but I need to pick one. And I'm either going to relate it to the peak, P-E-A-K, and the peak end, or I'm going to relate it to this flower petal, this, what was the main idea that I shared in some of these subtopics. I'm going to pick one. And you know, we've said this a couple of times. It's taking the pressure off. Look, you can't have five things that people are going to do after they listen to your podcast episode. You don't need five. So just pick one. It's going to help make sure that folks are more likely to do that. If you share two, three, five, whatever it is, that's just too many. And so it takes the pressure off a bit. So pick one. Oh, that's really good advice.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems, for instance, if we are interested in launching a podcast career or getting on more guest podcasts, we can overwhelm ourselves with everything we need to do. And listening to a series of podcasts, we're getting more information. And just keep it simple for yourself. So as you say, just pick one thing that most resonated with you and just start there. What's the first step to take? And it's like, well, I'm going to draw a picture of a flower. And that's how I'm going to structure my talks. And a visual is a really good device for that because it then clarifies. It's just draw one circle in the middle and five petals around it, and then fill those petals with the topics that lead you back to your main point. And that's taking a lot of the bulk and mystery away. So just start there.
And it even gives folks a visual idea that they could use for their content. And I will do a throwback. I feel like when you showed me your flower petal earlier and I was like, my three-year-old would love it. That made it sound like I was saying it wasn't good. My three-year-old is a tough art critic. Okay. So that was a stamp of approval. I'll come up with some kind of like stamp for you on that one. It was really good. And well, I'm going to take that with me as I think about what I'm sharing. And one of my kind of petals is this idea of like end and action, which gets back to your peak end. So you've given me a behavioral science perspective on how I structure my guest content and how I think about these opportunities.
I'm pleased. And I'm now going to take the testimonial from your three-year-old and make sure that I incorporate that in my website.
Do it now. He's finicky. He'll change his mind in a minute. So you better capture that one. Now, I wanted to ask you a question that we ask a lot of our podcast guests who have been on a lot of podcasts. And it's just about the idea of a podcast guest opportunity. Have you seen an example where somebody being on a podcast has been kind of a life-changing thing for them? Or maybe somebody who's heard a podcast or you've heard a podcast and it's been a life-changing thing for you or for them? Just this reinforcing this idea that like a single podcast, a single episode could kind of be the change that either folks need in their lives or that they needed to hear.
Well, the thing that most recently came to mind was a personal experience of listening to a podcast, and Peter Attia, the doctor, was on as a guest. I remember his name because then I purchased his book, which is Outlive. And Outlive is very much about longevity, but also having a healthy life. And that has changed a lot of my health behaviors. But that's just one experience out of so many where I have listened to a podcast and the timing's been right or the guest has been right. They've just said something that has crystallized for me. That's what I want to take on in my life. Now, I listen to podcasts every day. I walk the dogs listening to podcasts. I clean the house listening to podcasts. And so I experience a lot of them, but it's by exception, you know. One thing really sort of stands out. And what was great there, of course, is that he happened to have a book that I could then purchase and continue on that experience. But yeah, podcasts are very, very powerful. They're very intimate. You're in their ears. You're in the audience's ears, and that's straight into the brain. And so it's very intimate. It's a very intimate media. And I think it's very, very special for that reason.
That's a beautiful description. I really like that. And the encouragement that I want folks to hear, and this speaks to, you asked me this question, how do you want people to feel at the end of this podcast? And one of the big things we said is encouragement. We want to encourage folks to consider looking for podcast guest opportunities as a way to share their message, to amplify their brands, to reach more people. And what you just shared, that beautiful testimony to what a podcast can do, I hope that that's an encouraging message for someone who's on the fence about whether or not to do this. This idea that you just never know if your message is going to hit the right person at the right time, if your expertise could be the change for them. There's no sense in waiting. Go ahead and jump in and get started, because the sooner you get your message out there, the sooner it's going to find the person that needed to hear it.
Perfect. I love it.
Let's get to the reward first. If folks were to go find you on LinkedIn, what are the kind of resources that you share that they might find by following you?
Thank you, Sarah. Yes, I post there most often. So I post a lot of free content about how we can use behavioral science in our day-to-day life. That means life outside work, but also life inside work. And you can also do a behavioral IQ quiz to see how savvy you are when it comes to these behavioral techniques.
Don't threaten me with a good time. I love a quiz. I'll take any quiz. I joke all the time. The BuzzFeed quiz on which flavor of ramen you are, it gets me every time. I love it. So I can't wait to find out my behavioral IQ. This was so lovely. You're such a gem. You've shared so many takeaways with us. I'm not going to forget the peak end. I'm not going to forget the flower petal idea. I'm not going to forget this idea of sequencing effort and reward. And for those of us who are listening, I know they're not going to forget it either. And they might not remember your name, but they're going to remember that they heard you on the podcast, Ally Podcast, and they're going to come back and see your name and be able to look you up. And that's on LinkedIn. Again, calling out that you asked for one specific action, not five, but one. Find Bree on LinkedIn, B-R-I Williams.
Very pleased to be one of the meals in your beautiful restaurant. Thank you, Sarah.
There it is, every time with the metaphor. Oh, and we want to thank you so much for listening or watching this podcast. If the content was helpful for you at all, we hope that you'll follow us on any podcast app, whatever it is that you like to use, or of course on YouTube. And then you can find us on social media. We're at Podcast Ally. And if you're looking to be a guest on more podcasts to grow your brand, look for resources at podcastally.com. I'm Dr. Sarah Glova, and I'd love for you to follow me on LinkedIn as well. You can look me up there or visit saraglova.com. And we'll see you again soon on the Podcast Ally Podcast.